daf is daf tzadi beis. So we're getting the new parak. Hamocher peros. So the Mishnah begins saying hamocher peros lechavero, a person who sells fruit to his friend vizaron, and the guy ends up going to plant the fruit lo tzamchu, and the fruit doesn't grow at all. So he wants to claim it's a mekach talos. I bought seeds to grow. Vafilu zara pishon, even if he bought pishon, which is flax seeds. Rashbam explains here, which everyone buys, look Rashbam here, four lines down in the middle of the Rashbam, afilu zarim pishon, the rov ha-pishon anikach bolam lizriya konin oso. And most people buy it, you buy flax not to eat, you buy flax to plant, to grow flax, to make clothing out of it. But the chevan dika de zavin nami lachila, since there are those who still buy it for eating purposes, so the seller could say, no, I sold you the pishon for you to eat. I don't know what you do, busy growing the flaxseed. You should have eaten it. So all those situations when I buy something to grow and it doesn't grow, eino, says the Mishnah, eino chayev bachyusin. I'm not, as the mocher, the seller, is not obligated to pay. It's not considered mekach talos, because even though the lokeach bought it to plant, I sold it to be eaten. So this is talking about a case. Look at the top Rashbam here. Rashbam says a mocher peros stam. You just sell them. V'lo pirish im lizriya im lachilo. You don't specify for what reason you're selling them, whether it's to be eaten or whether it's to be planted. And you, as the consumer, don't indicate what you want. So it's an open question. And therefore, since there's at least some percentage of people who eat these things and don't grow them, there is no claim from the lokeach. Can't make a claim from the mocher. So then the Mishnah quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, which the Gemara is going to say is actually in agreement to the Tanakhama. It's really one opinion here. It's not two opinions. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel adds, Ham Omer, Zareini Gina, Sheina Nechalin, Chayiv Bachrison. Let's say you have seeds that grow in the garden, flowers, which no one eats. Ein Nechalin, are not eaten. So you buy these flowers and they don't grow. That's the one example where the mocher would be responsible to pay, because no one grows flowers, no one eats flowers, no one eats flower seeds. You plant flower seeds. So therefore, that's the one example, the one category the mocher is responsible, because it is considered a mekach talos. Look at Tosos here. Tosos, top Tosos, ha-mocher peros, zareini gina sheinam nechalim chayim ba'achriusam. I planted my flowers and nothing grew. So I go back to the gardener store and they pay me back the money. So Tosos asks Tema. There's a bit of a problem, because am I chayiv b'achriyusin? Why is the shop, the flower shop, responsible to pay back? Le'malei, they should say to me, ma shalot samchu, the reason why the seeds didn't grow, the flowers didn't grow, lufi shalot zaras osam bizman shayru in Lazria. You tried planting tulips in August. August is not the time for planting tulips. You should have planted them in the winter, and they grow in the first part of the season. So you made the mistake when you were growing them. So why is the flower shop responsible to pay for this mekach talos? So it was a mistake that the consumer made. He did the wrong time, the wrong season. And he goes on to bring a raya from the Gemara in Baba Metzia that we make such tainas. So what he ends up answering is as follows. He says that normally you cannot make such a taina. Jump down to Tosfos where he says v'yesh lomar. It's around 8 or 7 narrow lines down in this Tosfos. He says v'yesh lomar. Hasam, the reason why that Gemara in Baba Kama allows you, Baba Metzia rather, allows you to make a claim of it's your fault, Mairi b'makke Medina, it's referring to Makke's Medina, something that impacted the entire area, all the fields in the area, d'chulu ba'agai nami lo tzamchi, everyone in that field, no one's garden grew. V'les on the meimar shekol b'nei bagi zaru zara she'en eroi lezriya. You can't say that the guy sold flowers to everyone in 5 towns, and no one's tulips grew. So the guy can say, you guys all planted at the wrong time. What's the chance that every single person planted it at the wrong time? That's almost impossible. So it must have been there's a problem with the product. So that's the only situation where you can't make such a claim here. But had it not been for that, someone can make such a claim. So then he ends up saying, fine, that's the answer he says. In essence, he says that normally we don't make such a claim like this. It's just certain exceptions where we do allow the seller to make such a claim, in which case we say that the mocher is responsible for selling a bad product. So the Gemara now says, Tzadi Bezam Alfir, the Gemara says, Itmar. Ha-mocher shor l'chaveiro. A guy sells an ox to his friend. V'nimsa nagchan. Turns out it's a goring ox. So I don't want a goring ox. So the Gemara says, actually, last night I was actually at my brother-in-law's restaurant in Passaic, and he has this big warehouse area and a lot of property, and there's a wedding going on in one area of the warehouse, and then there's a restaurant, and around the side there was a rodeo going on with real bulls that they brought in from Texas, and every year they have this time of year a real rodeo, real bulls. So they had a short nagchan, similar to an ox, a goring ox.
I wouldn't want to say he had that on the menu.
You know, he had oxtail on the menu, actually, but no goring oxes. It could have been a goring ox, but so anyway, I buy an ox. It turns out the ox is a nugkun. It's a goring ox, so that's going to be very detrimental for the rest of my oxen. So Rav Amar Harei Zeh Mekachtalus. It's a Mekachtalus because I didn't buy a goring ox. I wanted to buy a regular ox. The Shmuel Amar Yachal Omar Lo. The mocher doesn't have to pay back. It's not a Mekachtos, because the seller could say, L'shchita mechartilcha, I sold you the ox so you could shecht it. I didn't sell you the ox so you could have it hanging around your backyard and gore, so you didn't care if it's a wild ox. So I sold it to you to shecht it. That's the machlokis Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's a Mekachtos, I didn't want that, and Shmuel says, I sold it to you to be shecht it. So the Gemara says, B'lech say I gavra dezavin l'nichsasei I l'radia. Let's go see the type of person, the consumer. If he's a nichsasa, which is a farmer, which is a shechter, a shochet, a butcher, so he obviously bought it to be shechted. So then he has no claim, and he shouldn't, it's not mekachtalus. He bought the ox, I don't care how wild it is, he bought it to shecht. And if he's a rad, if he bought it to plow, to pull the plow because he's a farmer, so then it would be mekachtalus because he wouldn't want a nagchan, he wouldn't want a wild ox. So that depends on who the consumer is. So what kind of machlokas is Rav and Shmuel? It really depends on who's buying it.
Why don't we look at what the mocher is as opposed to what the buyer is?
So I guess the mocher, when a person sells, I guess, a product, I don't care what you use it for. I'm just trying to get rid of the product here. So I don't specialize in selling only to farmers or selling to butchers. I sell to everybody who's willing to buy an ox.
But how's the seller supposed to know what the buyer is going to do with it?
Why does the seller have to know what
your profession is?
So that's a good question.
Do you know what the mocher is?
So it has to be a situation. I think it's a very good question. It has to be a situation, of course, where they know each other. It's a small community. Everybody knows what you do. So the farmer walks in with his jeans on and says, yeah, I know this guy's a farmer. It would be wrong for me to sell him a nugkan. And the other guy walks in with his blood all over his shirt because he's shechts. So I think you're right. If they didn't know, if the mocher doesn't know who the lokerech is, then you're probably right. Then maybe this wouldn't be a claim. So the Gemara answers, it must be a situation where it's a gavra dezavin lahachi lahachi. Guy does multiple things. He's got a business that he's shechting meat and selling it, and he's got another business where he's running a farm. So therefore the mocher had no idea which reason he was buying this for. He sold it stam, and I sold you a nakan. I thought you were going to use this to butcher. So the Gemara says, so the guy would buy either one. So but let's say, lech say dmei heichininhu. Let's see, how much money did he give? Because if you're buying an ox to be shechted, those are cheaper. You want to buy an ox that's going to stick around for a few years, a long-term investment, so that's going to be more expensive. So how much did he pay? Did he pay $1,000 for have an ox stay around for a few years until it loses its sanity? Or did he buy one for $500 where he could shecht immediately? So take a look how much he paid for it. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha de ayakar bisrei v'kam b'dmei radia. It's a situation where the meat became so expensive, the butcher meat, the shechting animal, that now became equal to what it would cost to buy an ox to plow the fields. Or alternatively, Rashbam suggests, where the oxen that were used for plowing became so cheap, where it ended up coming so low, it was equal to the price of the meat to a shecht. So either way, it was equal prices. So I'm a guy who has a farm, and I also have a slaughterhouse. And the value of the meat to be bought for shechting versus to be bought for plowing is the same exact. So Rav says it's a mekachtos. And Shmuel says, oh no, the mocha could claim he sold it to be shechted. So now the Gemara asks, wait a second. Ihachi, l'may nafkamina, so what do I care for? If I shecht and I also plow, and the value of the meat is the same, the ox is the same exact price, so why do I care? So I won't use it for my farming business, I'll just shecht it and use it for my butcher business. So why do I care? What's the machlokas here? Whether it's a mekachtos, I need to return the product, or I just shecht it myself and sell it. So the Gemara answers, nafkamina letircha. It's a tircha. What's the tircha? So look at the Rashbam, last two lines of the page here. Rashbam says, letircha tareach mechira hashur l'shachto l'mechor basa. If I'm farming the animal, so I just let it go graze in the ground, I let it pull the plow. But now if I want to shecht it, I need to shecht it, I need to clean the meat, I need to package the meat, I need to find customers for the meat. There's a lot more tircha involved in selling meat than it is having an ox plow. I'm not in the mood right now, this season, I'm not in the mood to start butchering things, even though I do have such a business. And for that reason, Rav says, I could always claim, mekach talos, I could, here's the ox, I want my money back. And Shmuel says no, because since there's a possibility that you could use it for shechting, the mocher is not responsible to refund your ox. Okay. There's an interesting Or Sameach. The Or Sameach has a discussion. Let's say I, as the lokeach, I buy a shor that I'm aware that it's a nagchan. I'm aware that this ox actually gores. But I thought it was a shor tam. No, only one offense or two offense. But it turns out it's a muad, which is more wild than a shor tam. I knew it was a nagchan. It had that tendency. So can I claim mekach talos? I thought I was buying a shor tam that only violated the negicha once or twice, and it turned out to shor muad. So Or Sameach says you cannot claim mekach talos in that case, because even though you're right, one animal is more aggressive than the other one, but they're still both somewhat aggressive. And the same type of shmir I would require for a shor tam would be the same exact shmir I need for a shor muad. It doesn't, even though the animal might be different, more aggressive, I would do the same type of shmir. So there really is no nafkamina for me in watching over this shor, and therefore it would not be considered a mekach talos according to the Or Sameach. And let's say, I'm sure this happens pretty often, it happened something similar to me yesterday. I bought the Masifta on this new chelak here, and I was preparing the daf, and I turned the page to Tzadi Gimel, and it didn't make any sense. It didn't flow well. Turns out the top of the next page said Sanhedrin on it. So they mixed somehow a page of Sanhedrin got here in Babasa, which does happen pretty often in Hebrew Sfar. So anyways, so let's say a guy, you know, the Z Berman bought the product from the Masifta. Now they want to return it. Is that considered a Mekach Taos? So seemingly it would be Mekach Taos. They have a discussion. What about, let's say you buy a lot of cows, and it turns out one of the cows is a trefa. Is that considered Mekach Taos or not? You know, there's going to be a number, there's a certain percentage of cows you're going to get, there are going to be mistakes. So is that considered a Mekach Taos? So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Baal Itter, they write that if you buy an animal and it turns out it's a trefa, now you don't know if it's a trefa until you actually shecht it and open up the lungs and take a look. So then, is it Mekach Taos or not? He says, it's not Mekach Taos. Since you're aware that there's a possibility that's going to be a trefa, it's not considered a Mekach Taos. But the Ramban argues, Ramban says, no, it is considered Mekach Taos. It's considered Mekach Taos. Why? So he brings a proof from our Gemara that you can claim that if I buy an animal and it's a trefa, it's a Mekach Taos. Why? Because he says that according to Shmuel, that even though... Right. If the Shmuel says the reason why when I buy the animal, I could say the mocher says I thought you were buying it to shecht it. Now let's say the mocher couldn't say you were shechting it. The mocher knew for sure this guy was a farmer, so he can't claim I thought you were shechting it. They knew each other very well. This guy's a farmer. He had his overalls on. He couldn't claim he was selling it to be shechted. So it's a mekach talos there. Now even though it's very common that the shor is going to be a nagchan, it's a common thing. Oxen are wild. So even though I, as the mocher, know that you're a farmer, I sell you the animal, so shouldn't we say that it's no mekach talos? Because you are aware, as a lokeach, some oxen are wild animals, and some of them are nagchans. So it should be a mechila, and the sale should be good. Even though a nagchan is a matzoi, says the Gemara, it's still mekach talos. So Ramban says as well, when I sell an animal, even though it's very common that animals would be a trefa, it still is considered a mekach talos. Okay, these things are very common when you buy a product, and it's common there'll be a mistake. I imagine most stores will take back damaged goods. But based on this Gemara, the machlok is whether that's necessarily true or not, whether you have to. Okay. Should we do one more Tosfos here? Let's see. I'll just point out, the Tosfos on the side of the Gemara says, makes a suggestion that the way we should know whether or not the stale is a mekach talos or not, we said, look how much he paid for it. Did he pay for it what it would cost to buy a meat to be shechted, or did he pay it what it would cost to buy an ox to plow? So we look at the money. So Tosa points out a Gemara we saw earlier in Daf Ayin Dayan that we don't, according to the Rabbanan, we don't look at the money, what a person's willing to pay. The money is not a proof for what the reason he bought it for. We had a discussion, if I bought a tzemed, does that mean I bought the yoke along with a cow with it? Or no, a tzemed means a tzemed, it means a yoke only. It doesn't necessarily mean the buck or come along with it. So the Gemara says, maybe you should look at how much money he paid for it. The rabbis, the Rabbanan there say, we don't look at the money, what was paid for. That's not a good proof of the price. People sometimes are willing to overpay things. So how come the Gemara here says we can look at the what price was paid? So that's a discussion you find in Tosfos Dibur Maschil V'Lechse. Let's go weiter now. So Gemara now says the very last two words of Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph, Heichi Dami. So what's the case here? I deleka leshalume, if there's nothing to pay me, so la'akev tura bezuze. So if there's no money to be paid, so then you should hold back the Torah. So again, the mocher right now, he owes me money. The mocher owes me money because he sold me a bad product. He sold me a nakam. So now if the mocher can't pay me any money, so I, as the lokeach, I should hold on to the shor as a guarantee for the payment I'll get from him. So Dami Inchi, that people say, min mare reshuscha pari afra. From the one, min mare, from the man, reshuscha, who has owed you money from Lashon Anosha, who owes you money, pare afre, you should take from him, you should take from him something to hold up. Pari Rashi, Rashbam says, Subin Bishavyan, which refers to, we say, what was it, brand? Brand, right? Take the brand, hold something as a mashkon, hold something as a collateral. So if the mocha has no money to pay me back, I should hold on to the ox until he has money. So either way, I should hold on to the ox. So that shouldn't be the case here. That's not the case. We're talking about where he wants the money back. He wants a refund. So Gemara, he says, no, lo tzricha d'ika lashalume mine. We're talking about a case here where the mocher has money to pay back. So what's the machlokas here? So I want to give this shor back. I didn't realize how wild this was. And the mocher has the wherewithal to pay me back for this shor. So now the Gemara explains, finally, what's the machlokas here? So Rav Amar Hareze Mekachtos. This case is Mekachtos, and he needs to refund the money. Why? Because Basa Ruba Azlinan. You go based on the Rove, the Ruba Lerad Yazavne. Most people are buying an ox to plow their fields. So this guy's Rove as well. It turns out the ox is a Nagchan, so therefore I'm able to get a refund. It goes Basa Rove, which is a klal we have in the Torah throughout Shas. So why Shmuel say, I can't return it? Isn't it Rove people buy to plow? So comes along Shmuel, says a very, very important din, which is brought down the halacha, and there's a tremendous amount of alum this year as well, which we're not going into. But Shmuel Amar Lechar, Ki Azlinan Basa Ruba Bi Isura, but Bimamona Lo. The only time we say Rov is only in the world of Isser, Achri Rabin Lahatos, the Gemara says, based on Dayanim, it comes to the Bezdin of Chav Gimel, Dine Nefashos. So how do we know that we apply the punishment, the din of Misa, to the Baal Din? Because if you have there's 23 people, if you have 13 saying chova and 10 saying innocent or any other thing where there is a majority of at least two, so we say you give him the death penalty, you give him a misa. So Achir Rabin Latos, the Pasuk says, so there's din deraisa, but that's only in the world of dini nefashos, in the world of iser. But in the world of mamon, this din doesn't apply. And this is a very important concept. In many places, there's a famous gra in the Medrash that the Pasuk says, bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nefesh lenefesh. The Medrash says there are different categories in halacha, and each category has its own set of rules. So Dine Mamonis has its own set of rules, Dine Isser have its own set of rules, and Dine Tumah have its own set of rules, and you can't cross paths at all with each of them. They all have their own set. So just because we have Rove and Isser doesn't mean we have a concept of Rove in Mamon. And we don't have Rove in Mamon, and we go based on Hamotze Mechavero al Haraya. You have to be, the burden of proof is on you to prove otherwise. So the Lokeach bought the axe. He needs to prove that somehow it would have been known to the mocher that he knew that I was buying it for a farm and not to buy it to be shechted. Okay. So the... thank you, Harry. So the example, I'll just before you go ahead in the Gemara, the example that the Rashbam says, what's a case of Isser? So he brings a famous case of, you have a whole block of different butchers, and turns out that nine of the butchers sell shechted meat, and one of them sell non-kosher meat, nevelad meat. That's a case where you go Basa Rov, that's the world of Dine Isser, that's the world of Yardaya. But to say Rov in the case of Mamon, that we don't say, we go Basa the Muchsak, whoever's holding on to it, and the other one would have to Hamotzi Michavero Alav Haraya. Okay, so Gemara now says, wants to bring a Rai. The Gemara first has a mnemonic here, simin that isha v'eved shor shorin uperos. These are going to be the next series of questions and proofs coming up. So Gemara says meisive ha'isha shenis almana onis garsha, a woman who was divorced or was widowed. V'hi omeres besula nisesi. Now she wants to collect her ksuba. Her husband dies, so that she's able to collect her ksuba. Her husband divorces her, she could collect her ksuba. So how much does she collect? So we know the Gemara's and ksubas tell us if she was a basula when she got married initially, she gets 200. But if she was not a basula, if she was a ba'ula, if she was either already this is her second marriage, so then she'd only get 100. So the Gemara quotes this discussion here, that v'hi omeres besula nisesi. She says, I was a basula when we got married, and I'm owed 200. However, hu amar lo, kila almana nisesich, I married you as a widow. This is your second marriage, and I only owe you 100. So im yesh edim sheyatza behinuma, if there are edim that she went out with the hinuma, now there's a discussion what hinuma means, we'll assume hinuma is a veil. She got married with a veil. According to this understanding that only basulos get married with veils, not a almana. So if there are edim that she got married with a veil, virosha parua, and her hair was uncovered yet, she didn't cover her hair because she wasn't married yet, she was single. So then, ksubasa masayim. So if you have edim that she had this, all this took place at the wedding, she gets her 200 because the edim are testifying that they saw these things, and that tells us that indicates she's a basula. So the Gemara is medayik. Taima dika edim, only because there are edim here that saw that she was a basula. Halek edim. If there are no edim, lo, she would not be able to collect her 200. So ask the Gemara v'amai lema halach acha rov hanashim go basa the rov. And this again, the rov mamon. This is the world of mamonos. The rov nashim besulos nises. Most marriages are women who are besulos. So shouldn't you say that rov women get married and she should get 200? The fact that we don't say that proves that we don't say rov mamonos, and we hold like Shmuel that there is no rov mamon against Rav. So the Gemara says Amar Ravina. Ravina says no. Mishum dikal meimar rov nashim besulos nises. You're right. Most women get married when they're basula. Umiut almanos, and there's a minority of women who get married when they're already widows. V'chol anisos, and all women, v'chol nisos basula, every woman who gets married as a basula, yesh la kol. And everyone knows about it. There's a kol. Why is there a kol? So Rashbam explains, because all the simcha that took place at the wedding, everyone's going to be talking about this wedding. So everyone's going to know that there was a hinuma, and there was rosha parua at the time of the wedding. And zu hol ve'ein l'kol. Now this particular marriage, this whole debate we're having, there was no such kol. Nobody was talking about this wedding. That's isra la ruba. That now weakens the rov. So let's set that up one more time. Rov are basulos, which would say that she should collect 200. But we have another concept that kol, every single marriage of a basula, there is a kol with a kuf. There's a voice out there. And the fact that there is no voice out here kind of weakens the rov. But again, normally we would follow the rov bedina mamonos, says Rav. This case is just different because that kol doesn't exist, it weakens the rov. So the Gemara has to tweak it just a little bit. E kol hanisos besulos yesh la kol. If it's true that every wedding, the word is a kaf lamed here, every wedding of a basula, there's a kol, everybody remembers every detail of it. So kiik edim mai havya. If there are edim that say that she had a hinuma and rosh parua, why do we care for the edim? My hava, me the less they call, saw the shikininu. Since there is no call with a kuf, no one's talking about this wedding of the hinuma, that means the edim are false edim. If, again, we're saying there's a contract that call every single basula wedding, everyone's talking about. And this one no one's talking about, that means that the edim are lying. So the Gemara just tweaks it a little bit here, just a bit more accurate. Ella rov hanisos besulos yesh lahen kol. Most marriages of besulos, there is a kuf vav lamed, there's a kol, there's a voice, there's a rumor that goes out. Most people are talking about the wedding here, but not everybody. But vizu hol v'ein la kol, but this particular wedding that we're discussing right now, whether she was an alman or besula, there is no kol. No one's talking about this wedding and the hinuma and the rosh parua, and therefore isle ruba, the rov therefore is a little broken down and weaker. But in general, Rav would say, we do go basarov in the world of mamon. This is just an exception because there's a reyesa, there's a weakness in the rov. Okay, next harai the Gemara wants to know. Again, the discussion is, we're having here, everybody agrees there's rov by iser. The debate is whether there's rov by mamon as well. Rav says there is rov by mamon. Shmuel says there is no rov by mamon. So the Gemara brings the next proof, Tashma. Hamocher eved lechavero v'nimsa ganav o kuvyostis. The guy sells an eved and to his friend, and the Shus Yaakov says this is only referring to an eved Kanani. This would not be the case of eved Yisrael. I'll explain in just a moment what that means. So I sell you an eved Kanani, and it turns out the eved Kanani is a robber. He's a ganav, or he's a kuvyustis, which Rashbam says is a gonev nifashos. He kidnaps people. So the halacha is higio. It's tough luck. You've bought it. Bad purchase. Too bad. Too late. And finally, you walk out of my store with your eved Kanani. It's done. But if he's a listed mezuyin, which Rashbam says is he's a harig nefashos, he's a murderer, which means what Rashbam says, v'sofa leharog, he's going to be caught and killed. So my life, term on this eved kanani is going to be very short lived. So then, or says the Gemara, muchtav lemalchus, he's already written off to the malchus. He already has a death penalty on him. The government's out after him. So then he's also leharog. He's going to be killed. It's going to be a short-lived avdus. So then we say hare shel chalfanecha. So then that means here in this case I'm able to return the eved kanani. So Gemara is going to address what the difference is of the first case or the second case. But let's just get some of the definitions for a moment here. So Tosfos writes here, Kuvyustus, he quotes the Perish Rashi, which is also the Rashbam, which is a gonim nefashos, the guy who kidnaps. Now, Tosas doesn't like this pshat here. Tosas writes, V'hachalo mashma hachi. It doesn't seem to indicate that here, that a kuvyustus is a person who kidnaps, a kidnapper, because hachi, demasik, the kula hachi is nayu. Because here we're saying that every eved kanani is a kuvyustus. Atu kula gonim nefashos anu? You're telling me I could understand that every eved kanani steals. That much I could get. But to say that every Eved Kanani is a kidnapper, that's very hard to imagine, says the Tosfos. So I don't think that Rashbam and Rashi are right in their definition of Kuvyustus. So what does he think Kuvyustus is? Look at the Tosfos a little further down in this Tosfos. He says, V'nir Kiperish Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, the Mefarish Kuvyustus Misachek B'Kuvya. He's a gambler. That's what we're referring to. He's concerned he's going to steal my money. He's going to gamble a lot. He has no money to pay. He's going to start stealing from my drawers and my wallets and my credit cards. And that's consistent with the first shot. He's a ganav. He's stealing money. Or to Kavustis. He's addicted to gambling. So he quotes an interesting medrash here. Medrash we all know, Gemara. Tosis goes on to say, V'ho damar peper gidhan Hashem, damar le Yaakov l'malach. Yaakov, when he encountered the malach of Esav, he said to him, right, he's about to leave. He says, sunrise is coming. I need to go home now, the malach says. So Yaakov Avinu says to him, V'chi ganavata o kuvyustus ata? What, you're a robber? You're scared of the sun? You're trying to hide out? Or you have kuvyustus, that same word? Ata shata misari mashachar, you're scared of the sun? You're going to melt? You're like a witch? So they're a vampire, whatever, melts from the sun? So v'yeshlom, v'yeshli yashiv. So Tosa says, you can explain what pshat here. What's Yaakov calling him a kuvyustus? Because nami l'farish Rabbeinu Chananel, you could fit in Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat there. He owes so many people money. He's nothing to pay them. He's trying to run away. No different than a ganav. No different than a kidnapper. A gambler has the same problem. Even though a gambler doesn't seem as bad as a ganav and not as bad as a kidnapper, in the end of the day, he's trying to hide out. In this case of Malach and Yaakov, from people catching him to pin him down to pay him what they owe. Okay. So anyways, we have a guy sells an eved to a friend. He's a ganav or he's a kuvyustus. Too bad you bought it. You should have known better. But if I sell you a guy who's muchtav lamalchus, or a guy who's a murderer, so then I say, hareish lechalfenecha, I am able to return back I can refund the eved kanani. Now Rambam has a different pshat here. What does it mean if he's lamalchus? He explains that it's referring to that he is an eved for the king. That's what it means. Whereby the king could always call him whenever he wants, and I'm going to never get time for him to work for me. He also works for the king. That's what it means. So what's the difference, the Gemara asks? So why the first case we say, higiyu, too bad, tough luck, you made a bad purchase. And the second, seifa, we're saying, no, I could return it. So Gemara says on the top of Sadi Gimel here, my taima, la mishim deruba hachi isnayo. Is it not because we say, why do we say higiyu? When I bought the ganav, the eved kanani is a ganav, because I should know that most of other are ganavim. And I should have been aware of this. And therefore, the sale is final. I can't say mekach tos. So we see from here that we do go after the rove and it's a good kinyan. In Mamonos, we do go bust to the Rov, like Rav, and we say it's a good kinyan, it's final, against Shmuel. And the Gemara says, no, a very, very powerful statement here. Gemara says, lo, kulu hachi isnayo. Every single, every kanani kulu are all ganavim, and they're all also the kuvyustas. Either they're all kidnappers, or they are all gamblers. And that's why even Shmuel would agree in this case that the sale is final. When I buy an Eved, you know the Eved is going to steal money from you. You can't claim otherwise. It's not an issue of Rov, it's an issue of Kol, where everybody would agree. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. Mirat Hashem.